From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 6th, 2010. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Manaloking Shores, New Jersey.
Since May, those in and outside of geospatial have been offered a flurry of iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry apps to submit data they collect about the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. What's the impetus for all the apps? What's happening to all the data that's collected? We'll look at citizen mapping of the oil spill after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ERDOS, the Earth to Business Company. ERDOS helps organizations harness the information of the changing Earth for greater advantage. With our industry-leading desktop and server solutions, you can tackle every step of your geospatial data processing workflow with ease and speed. Experience it for yourself. Try out ERDOS Apollo, our enterprise data management and delivery solution, by visiting demo.erdos.com.
Well, I did a little searching on Google, and I basically was looking for applications that you can run on your cell phone where you can capture information about the oil spill in the Gulf and then submit it, ideally, for somebody to use and help make things better. And there's probably dozens of these applications out there. And I just grabbed a handful to use as sort of a starting point for our conversation about these applications. Let me just introduce these in sort of chronological order. One of the first ones out there doesn't actually have a phone implementation per se, but it was one of the first, and it is from ESRI, and that's the oil spill website where images and tweets are sort of all collected in one place, and you can, in fact, submit information to the website. That came online, I have a date of May 3rd that was announced. And then later in May came an application called Oil Reporter. That one was introduced through a press release that was really about the technology more, perhaps, than the app itself. And let me just read a little bit of that. AppCelerator, the leading platform for rapidly developing native mobile desktop and iPad applications using web technologies, today announced that AppCelerator Titanium would power Oil Reporter for Android and iPhone. The mobile app was created for Crisis Commons by Intradia using Titanium's cross-platform technology. Oil Reporter enables trained citizen journalists to use their mobile phones to capture and update quantitative and qualitative data, as well as geotagged photos and videos to help the recovery effort. So that was at the end of May. On June 15th, I read about an application from UMass Amherst called MOGO. It stands for Mobile Gulf Observatory, and the goal is to turn everyday citizens into citizen scientists. Using the GPS unit in your iPhone, your location and the photo are instantly sent to a wildlife rescuer who can help the animal. So that's very much animal-focused. On June 16th, I learned about an application from Envision called Oil Spill Response. The free app allows users to report oil incidents found along the coastal regions, including oiled shorelines and wildlife, as well as generic reports on oil-related damage and oil-related incidents. Now, the Envision one was kind of interesting, and I actually sent an email to get some more information about it, and I got some feedback from Joel Lawhead, who's the CIO with Envision Solutions. And one of the questions I had for him was, why did you build this? Did somebody pay you? Are you under contract? Because I know they do a lot of contracting with the federal and state governments. And he came back and he said, no, we built the iPhone as a public service and there was no money involved. And then I started to ask about the data that they were collecting and how it was being shared. And he shared with me something that I thought was pretty interesting, and I'm not sure that this particular piece of information is widely known. And let me just quote what he wrote. As I mentioned above, any time you see an agency or company advertise a public ArcGIS server-based site, they are also usually automatically publishing data services unless they turn it off. Your ArcGIS server or ArcMap can cache that data on a regular basis, so you're only hitting their server occasionally. Basically, a mashup. Unquote. So what he's basically saying is, if organizations are collecting this data using ArcGIS server, which many of them certainly are, and unless people have gone out of their way to turn off the publication of the data they're collecting, it's being fed right back out. And it's interesting to me that none of the organization's apps that I looked at said anything about that. They said, we're collecting, but nobody ever said, oh, and you can have access to it, and here's how. So that was pretty interesting. The final app I want to talk about was just announced on June 30th, and that's from Trimble. It's called Map the Spill. Map the Spill empowers the general public to report meaningful, science-driven information like never before. You can help by reporting oiled shorelines, stressed or dead wildlife, and other spill-related information. Consider walking a section of the beach on a regular basis. Join a response team. Ask friends and neighbors to join the efforts. Unquote. So we've got a variety of different organizations, companies, universities getting involved. And I guess my first question is, why are they all doing this? And isn't it redundant?
Yeah, I think to take your second question, it is a bit redundant. I would have a concern as to where the data is going. You mentioned that it was published outright.
In some cases.
In some cases, but I don't know who's taking the broadcast of the data. In other words, if it's out there and it's public, who is gathering it and to whom would it be useful, I think, is the question. To the issue of why so many, I don't want to take the cynical approach and say, well, they're doing it for a marketing effort. I think some of these efforts are quite useful and quite good. I think what I would like to have seen, because I was not aware of the number of apps that were there, was I'd like to see these companies promote it and maybe promote the alliance that is being done to gather all of this information for the people that need it the most. But from the information that we've gathered, I haven't seen where the information that's being gathered is actually being sent to NOAA, for example, or somebody who is involved in the mitigation efforts, either at the local or the state level. So it seems like these apps are out there floating and nobody's listening. You know, they're broadcasting, but nobody's listening.
Well, and that's a really good point. And this could be a communication problem, too. And that's that none of the press releases that I read about these offerings said anything specific about exactly where the data is going and how it's being used. I would think if I'm going to spend my time, you know, downloading an app, and all these apps are free, which is terrific, I would be very interested in am I wasting my time? And as a geospatial professional, is the data getting filtered in any way? Is anybody deduping it to make sure that the same person hasn't reported a bird that's dead that somebody else reported? There's a whole set of issues that come with volunteer geographic information or citizen journalism, which is sort of what this all is. So I think they're trying to do a public service, but they haven't sort of taken it to the next step, which is reporting back to us, okay, we put out this app, this many people downloaded it, this many people reported data, here's what it looks like, and here's how it was used. We sort of need the rest of the story.
Yeah, I think we can back up a little bit and look at who we think all of these good data collections are supposed to hit, because I believe the lead agency on the mitigation efforts is the U.S. Coast Guard, and I would hope that some of this data is going to reach them, because if everybody's out there mapping oil spills on the beach or indications of where there's oil globs in the ocean or in the Gulf, that somehow all of these data would reach those people involved in the mitigation efforts, in particular BP, who may want to send a crew out there to clean up particular areas. But it doesn't seem like that's happening. Again, as I said, it seems like things are being put out there, but we don't know who's collecting the data. You know, the thing that's mapthespill.org, it seems like it's an independent group supported by Trimble.
It is, yeah.
How many downloads have they had? How many people have they had use it? It looks like there's quite a few people out there using it. But once again, they are the repository, but who are they giving it to?
I guess the next question would be, who at the Coast Guard is paying attention to all of these potential sources of potentially valuable data? And are they, in fact, tapping into these feeds, if those feeds are, in fact, available, be they ESRI feeds or WMSs or WFSs or whatever? And how would you find them? How would you know who's publishing a feed of user-generated data about the spill?
Exactly. And I think what would be useful if somebody was doing an aggregation of all of these feeds, and I don't think we've found that yet, have we?
I have not found that. And that what we're coming sort of back around slowly to this idea of some kind of an authoritative or lead agency, company, somebody to sort of keep an eye on what's going on and try to at least pull it all together.
And you know, this issue hasn't really this isn't a new issue. I think this came up maybe with the California fires. Every year there seems to be somebody out there collecting data on fire information. It's done probably less and less a big deal when there's a tornado running through a town. These are great efforts, but I don't know if anybody has taken the time to step back and say, hey, look, we got to get this data to such and such an organization. Certainly in the case of a disaster like a tornado, it's easy to find the person who's in charge. You go to the first responders of the local government. Here, with a lead federal agency, whether that's the Coast Guard or somebody like FEMA, you don't know. I mean, you know, we don't even know if we put something like this together, who it might go to. So when you have somebody like Envision or Trimble putting something out there, it's a great public service, but who are they talking to?
We've seen these kinds of challenges in the past. I'm thinking back to hurricanes and earthquakes where well-meaning people put out applications where people can document, I'm okay, or I'm still looking for person X.
Right.
And those get distributed all over. And in one situation, I believe it was the recent earthquake, Google sort of said, hey, let's all get on the same page and share an app and make sure all the data goes into one place. And from what I understand, most people were fine with that. And I'm not sure that that's Google's role in the long term, but I appreciate them sort of stepping up. Even as our federal government is trying to put together a geospatial platform, right? Geospatial platform.gov, which does in fact have a nice aggregation of all kinds of data about the oil spill. Is that where this is eventually going to go to? I mean, I don't want to be too critical because I think we really are at the very beginnings of how to collect and use user-generated content in an emergency situation.
No, I hear you, and I think you're exactly right. I think what needs to happen is if the government was going to stand up a platform like geoplatform.gov, like it is now, I think that these other organizations would be wise to somehow send their feed to them, contact the person at that organization. But I see where you're going with this. This is not going to be the last time that something like this occurs, whether it's at this scale or not. It's going to be more minor. But wouldn't it be nice if the government set up a platform where people can send their feeds, or at least they could alert an individual that we're doing this, we've got these data available. What do you think about taking these feeds? And there would be this, you know, essentially they would be the filter. This is a perfect opportunity for the government to step into something like this, especially at a time when everybody is crying, hey, the federal government ought to be more involved in this.
Where we're trying to go, I think, and this is something that we as a community need to really start thinking about, and certainly people like Michael Goodchild have already started the thinking part of this, is we need to sort of capture and document best practices each time we go through one of these kinds of challenges. And I think we've been through enough, sadly, in the last 4 or 5 years that there's already a bunch of information about how successful different efforts were, what the challenges were. One of the things I'm thinking back to is during the swine flu scare, right? We had all those maps of people reporting this person was diagnosed and this person died because of swine flu. And we were getting all kinds of duplicate information, and that needed to be weeded out.
Right. Right.
In that case, it was RISA Labs in Pittsburgh did a lot of that work to try to filter that through and try to become something like an authoritative source. You know, that was a private company. And I think they were pretty straightforward about saying, hey, we're testing our software. We're trying to push it to the limit and trying to do the right thing. But I really think that ultimately this does need to be a government kind of thing. And your point about taking feeds, this is never a technology problem. This is always a sort of people problem. How do we find out who's putting together the apps? How do we let them know that they need to provide a feed in a certain form, hopefully some open format, and get them involved and let them know how their data is going to be used.
Two issues here. One is, I think, your observation of having a government agency get involved, step up with whatever platform they're going to put out there. I think it's an opportunity for data.gov to take an initiative like this. I also think your point about best practices is well taken. I think we've had enough of these crisis mapping efforts go on, the major one being Haiti and then secondarily Chile. These people stood up almost immediately to help out with mapping some of the information that was needed. And yet, I'm not sure there was the right filtering mechanism. Certainly, everybody's using Google as a platform, it seems like, even with these apps here. But there is a best practices that needs to happen for all of these efforts. And I think we're coming to that. I'm just not sure that we've aggregated the best practices into something like, hey, data.gov is going to be the repository, as an example. And let's figure out that when the next emergency situation comes, how do we get the data to data.gov, and somebody's going to stand up a website with a mapping app to make this all in one place to help the mitigation efforts.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree with you strongly about this being the role of data.gov.
Okay.
It's my understanding that data.gov is for data that has been vetted and cleaned and is authoritative. So I don't want user-generated content going there. We need a much more nimble kind of tool, and I think what I'm seeing from geoplatform.gov, which is currently built on a whole pile of open source, open standards technology, that would be the way I would prefer it. And that would be a generic platform such that whatever the lead agency, or if you want, you can put a nonprofit in charge of it, I'm okay with that, and let them drive the implementation for this specific effort. The oil spill, Haiti, earthquake, hurricane, war even, whatever it happens to be.
What I was trying to get the point across was that it should be at the federal level to coordinate something like this, whether it's a geoplatform.gov or data.gov, whatever it is, probably somebody ought to take a look at this and again, start collecting these best practices. And because, like I said, something is going to happen next, and you're going to have all of these random efforts once again.
The picture I have in my head is that something like geoplatform.gov is going to be hosted in the cloud and available, and if there is a crisis, and I'm going to push this even further, local, state, or federal, whichever agency is going to be the lead agency, gets an implementation of it, and they get to drive how it's used, communicate with the organizations that are going to provide data, and so in a sense, it's sort of pre-built, it's just the details that are going to be added in for that particular implementation. And hey, this goes all the way back. Let's drive this all the way back to 9/11.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Good point.
We weren't quite as web savvy then. We were not talking about cloud computing. I was at ESRI Boston at the time, and my colleagues got in the car and went to New York and made maps for weeks. We shouldn't have to do that anymore. We shouldn't have to be loading software onto machine, right? The platform should be available, and people, frankly, should be using it for other things all the time, so they're incredibly familiar with it. Such that when there is an emergency, plug in the geography, in a sense, and get going.
With this recent effort here with the spill, some of these companies, Trimble being one, has already built a template for an iPhone app. If we circle back to our initial discussion, obviously some of these other companies have done the same. Once again, you can see that this is going to happen again, and you wonder if, again, here's the best practice. Hey, we've got a template. If somebody's out there collecting data, we've already got it going. The next time it happens, here's a website. Download it, customize it to whatever the situation needs. So
I think we need to be. You brought up this whole point of, you know, is this just a marketing effort? And surely it is for every one of these organizations, and I have no problem with that. But you make a really good point, and that's that all of the organizations that are doing this are practicing for the future. They're learning. They're pulling together their resources, and whether their app was out on May 3rd or June 30th really doesn't matter. They're thinking ahead, and frankly, we should give them credit where it's due.
It's like you said, it's not a technology issue. In fact, now we've even solved the issue of platform, right? You're either going to build something for the iPhone or the Android or the BlackBerry, and you've got the templates, you've got them ready to go. Boom, here they are for the next time.
That's all the time we have.
This podcast was brought to you by ERDOS, the Earth to Business Company. Backed by more than 30 years of experience working with geospatial data and expert users like you, ERDOS is still shaping the future of the geospatial industry with cutting-edge products like Apollo on the Cloud. All the power and speed of ERDOS Apollo Professional are now available in a monthly subscription service with no hassles, no commitment, and upfront pricing with no surprises. For more information, please visit www.erdas.com. That's www.erdas.com.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.